God. Good morning, everyone. How you doing? Amen. Praise the Lord. How many are excited about what God's doing in your lives? Amen. You know, sometimes through the holiday season, as we're entering into that time, it can be difficult for some and exciting for others. But I really believe that the Lord wants to stir and breathe upon us a freshness of His Spirit. Amen. How many can say amen to that? How many are ready for just something different in your life, something exciting? Amen. And you know, one of the things this message was really inspired by us, the study that we've been doing on the Tabernacle of Moses. And it's really kind of opened my eyes up a lot, and it's really caused me to question and seek things in my life a lot. And the title of this sermon is God the Center of Your Journey? Is God the center of your journey? You know, what, in other words, what really moves you, or what are we trying to strive or achieve through the life we're living? Are we trying to please others? Are we trying to get rich? Are we trying, what is your motive, in other words? What drives you? What is it that kind of gives you that reason to get up in the morning? Because I really believe that if we have our eyes set with destiny and with purpose, we're going to move in that direction of what we want. And the Lord is asking us, am I the center of your journey? Is God the center of your journey? And the reason I say that I was really inspired by this through the Tabernacle of Moses is, see, they knew where they were going. They were going to a promised land. In other words, they had destiny, right? They knew where they were going. But the thing about it is, God said, if you're going to go to the promised land, you're going to need me to be in the center of your journey. So they made the tabernacle, and basically the tabernacle was God's dwelling place, the Ark of the Covenant and everything that came with it. It was always in the center of the people. In other words, they knew where the Lord was in their journey. And I really believe that that's something that we need to look at as individual, as believers in God. Is God really the center of our journey? Is He really what we... When we think about things in the morning when we get up, in the time that we're at work, in the evenings before we go to bed, are we constantly thinking or looking at the relationship we have with God? Or is it suddenlies that we have when we're going through something in life and we suddenly need something or we run into a situation? Is that when God becomes the center? And I guess that's what I'm really trying to stir in your hearts is the importance of God in your life. Because if God is the center of our lives, I want you to know that He's given us the destiny, and the place is called heaven. It's a place of excellence. It's a place of beauty. It's a place where there is no more, the Word of God says that there is no more tears, there is no more sorrow, no more death. You know, there's a lot of things that the Scripture talks about the joy of the Lord and the things that are in the presence of God. We've got to understand that heaven is not like earth. Amen? It's a holy place. It's a sacred place. The things that this world has, there's a lot of things that are not going to be in heaven. And thank God for that, right? The beautiful thing about it is anything that is unjoyful, anything that is sorrowful, anything that is hurtful, those things do not exist in heaven. And the thing about it is, that's what the Lord is saying. I am calling you as my people to come to that place called heaven. In fact, let me read it. And John 14:1-4 says, this is Jesus, a well-known verse. It says, let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Isn't that awesome? You know, I really believe what the Lord was saying at that time to His people was, you know what? I have room for you. And I'm going to, in my Father's house, in other words, the heaven that He's talking about, He's saying, there is room for you. And I go to prepare a place for you. Isn't that awesome that the Lord is saying that in the heavens, there is a place for you, and He's gone to prepare that place for you. Amen? We've got to understand that that's a destiny. That's something that God has prepared, something that we should strive for, something that we're trying to reach. Amen? Because see, we could easily get discouraged or disappointed or get so involved in the world around us that we forget we're children with destiny. We have purpose. We're movers. We're shakers. We're moving forward and with what God has for us. It goes, I would have not told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. Where Jesus is, he wants us to be. That should be exciting. Amen? That where I am, there you may also be. And where I go, you know, and the way you know. In other words, he's saying, because he is the way. In other words, I have come from heaven. I have come here to earth. And I'm returning back. I know the way, so therefore I am the way. If you want to get to heaven, you got to follow one that's been there. And Jesus is the only one that's ever come from heaven and that's returned back. So the thing is the Lord is telling us that he's come to show us the way. He's come to give us the directions and the guidance of where he wants us to be able to achieve and reach our destiny with him. Amen? Our God is a good God. Good to see Romeo here from Nimi. Amen. God bless you. Glad you're on break. You probably enjoy some of the good home food meals, right, Romeo? Amen. It's not easy to do what you're doing, but God bless you, and you keep doing what the Lord leads you. Amen. See, the thing is, the Lord has a destiny for us. And sometimes we've got to leave some things behind so that we can get to where we're going. Sometimes we've got to get on the path that is going to lead us to where we're going so that we can get there. And see, the thing is, the Lord is really showing us in our lives that there is a lot of things that have attached themselves to us because he's calling us to be a heavenly people, but a lot of us have really embraced the earthly mentality. And it's difficult to think heavenly when we're influenced earthly. And what the Lord is really saying is, I have come to prepare a place for you. I want you to be where I am, is basically what he's saying. I want to take you to my home. I want to take you to my place so that my place can be your place. Amen? And I really believe that even let's turn to 1 Peter 2, verse 9 through 10. I really believe that the Lord wants to encourage us this morning because you know what? We have been so influenced by the things of this world that we don't even see ourselves the way God sees us. We see limitations. We see frustrations. We see hurtfulness. We see a lot of these things. And I really believe that the Lord is saying, I have come to show you a different life. In fact, in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, but you are a chosen generation. How many of us walk and believe that we're a chosen generation? A royal priesthood. A holy nation. And this is very neat. His own special people. God's own special people. How many of you look at yourselves like that? A special people, a holy people, a royal people, a chosen generation. Amen? How many of us really see ourselves like that in the eyes of God? How many of us look at our lives and we see all the flaws, like Sister Sue was telling us? Inside of you, you're perfectly made. You're wonderfully made. God has given you his DNA, the same blood that raised Christ from the dead. It says, dwells in you. The power of God is in you. But yet we walk around defeated and discouraged and frustrated, and we spend so much time trying to look so beautiful on this, what did you call it? This fleshly, your earth suit. This is what gives you right to be here. Your earth suit. We spend so much time on our earth suit that we forget the inner. Everything that God's really doing. You know, I really believe that the Lord is stirring a people to bring out the best that's inside of you. for such a time as now. You know what? You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy people. Amen? And it says that you're special to Him. Special to Him. Amen? You're a special, His own special people. It says that you may proclaim the praises of Him. In other words, that we understand the greatness of who our God is. You know, we just did a study on the incense, the table of incense. And that's located right before you go into the Holy of Holies. And that table of incense is a place where you worship your God, where you pour out your heart. In other words, the incense is the fragrance of praise. And I really believe that if we are a people that know our God, we need to start praising Him and worshiping Him with the fullness of our heart so that we truly start understanding His greatness. How many can say amen to that? And the thing is it says that He dwells in the midst of the praises of His people. I really believe that we need to put on our praise and our worship in a different way for such a time as now. We need to call down the greatness of God by worshiping Him and thanking Him for who He is, no matter what's going on the outside, because you know what? Remember, we're not earthly people. We're spiritual people with a destiny from heaven, but we've got to keep our eyes on God, and we've got to be able to start seeing things through the eyes of God instead of through our own eyes. How many can say amen to that? Because the thing is, we're so caught up in this world. We're entangled. And how many can say, that's me? Last night when I was looking at that, I was really saying, you know what? Am I really living as Jesus, as my center of my life, of this journey that I'm going through? Or am I struggling through this journey because I have so many other things that I lean and trust in? Who has called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. He's called you out of your darkness and into His marvelous light. It says, who once were not a people, but you are now the people of God. The Lord was really showing me some things because you know what? We live our lives trying to please and to achieve things in life that we spend a lot of time spinning our wheels and not really moving anywhere. But the thing is God is saying, if I'm the center of your life, it says that if we put God first in our life, He goes, I will add all these things unto you. Stop and think for a moment. When the Israelites were in the desert, they were going through a wilderness. Their journey took them through a wilderness. Wilderness means heat, struggle, barrenness. It's not very fruitful, not very productive. But yet here they are in the middle of a wilderness. And I know sometimes my life, maybe your life, you feel like you've been in a wilderness. There's not a lot of things happening. There's not a lot of life around us. There's a lot of hardship and a lot of difficulty, the hardship of the sun beating upon you, the cold of the night. If you think about what even lives in the desert, scorpions and snakes and spiders, and isn't it amazing that how do they survive? But you don't see animals that graze and feed off of grass and have a lot of life living in the desert. And I was looking at that in my life and I said, you know what? Sometimes my journey in life is very dried up. It's difficult. But I want you to remember that these people were going through a desert, but they never lacked. They had everything they needed. It says that the Lord fed them from heaven a food called manna. They'd pick it up in the morning, and they had enough for the day. If they got too greedy and picked up too much, it would spoil by the next day. It says that the Lord even gave them water from a rock. because the desert doesn't have water. It doesn't provide the streams that flow in a mountainous area. And it says that these people would get so angry and so bitter with God that they try to question God. How many of us in our journey sometimes get bitter and angry and question God? And we tell God, why, Lord? Why did you bring me through this? Why am I having to face this difficulty? The Lord is saying, your journey's not over. Keep your eyes on the destiny. I'm taking you to the promised land. In other words, we have destiny. We have purpose. Sure, we're going to go through things in life that are difficult and struggle. But the thing is, we've got to continue, even as the scripture says in Ephesians, I think it says, but you've got to stand. No matter what you're going through, stand. In other words, don't run from God, run to God whenever you're facing difficulty. You know what? It's the easiest thing is to give up, throw in the towel and give up. But God says that He's raising up a people that are called overcomers, people that can endure, people that know their destiny, no matter what the world throws at them. They have purpose and they're moving forward so that they can bring joy wherever they go. And the Lord is calling a people. We are that people. And He's calling us and He's putting us in places so that we can shine the light of God wherever we are. You know, one of the things that I thought my time of coaching was over, to tell you the truth, because I love coaching. I love being around kids. But I was persistently asked over and over and over and over and over again, and another over again, to help out the basketball team here in Cuesta. And I came up with a million excuses why not to do it. And I want you to know that the Lord is calling you as a people out of your comfort zones to do things that are inside of you, your gifts and your talents. And you can come up with a million reasons why not to do it. But I'm telling you, the reason you need to do it is so that you can start shining light in some areas of people's lives. So I finally accepted, and I'm going to be helping the basketball team here in Cuesta. Started a week ago. And I can see why I'm called to do it. Because there is a lot of darkness. A lot of discouragement. A lot of hopelessness. But the thing about it is, we carry hope. We carry light. And we carry encouragement. And I want you to know that the things that God has poured into you need to come out so that you can be used wherever you go. There is gifts and talents in you that people need to see and people need to embrace. Because the thing is God is doing something new. Amen? And the thing about it is, through our journey, we can get so caught up with what's going on around us that we forget we have spiritual business to take care of. That we have people, we're people with destiny. You know, the enemy would want to discourage you to the point that you even start looking at yourself through your own eyes and getting disappointed and discouraged and forgetting what God sees in you. And that's what Sister Sue was talking about. Because when God sees you, He doesn't see all your failures. He doesn't see your past. He doesn't see the things from behind. Our God is a God of the now. He sees you where you're at now, but He also sees you with destiny and purpose. He sees us where we're headed and where we're going. And the beautiful thing about it is God is calling us into a new place with destiny. Amen? With a new joy, a new excitement, and a new energy. But the thing about it is, if we're always dwelling on what we didn't do or what we didn't achieve, we're just going to always be in that same place. But the thing is, God is saying, I have purpose for you. I've called you for such a time as this. Amen? In fact, in Esther, turn to Esther real quick. Let me find it. These were Mordecai's word to Esther in Esther chapter 4, verse 14. It says, for if you remain completely silent at this time, I really believe this is a word for you. If you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise from the Jews from another place? How many of you believe that if you don't do what God is calling you to do, God's going to have to bring someone else to do it? And I really believe this is not a time for us to be silent. As Christians, we've got to rise up and we've got to be the voice of God for such a time as this. And it says, but you and your father's house will perish. If we stay silent, it's like we're turning away from God and we're perishing away from the things of God, the spirituality. But then he goes on and he says, yet, who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Maybe your whole life has come to this point because this is what God wanted you to achieve. How many can say amen to that? Because the thing is, we're coming to a place where we've really got to learn to deal with truth. We've got to learn to deal with truth. What is really real about you? Who is the real you? Last night when I was looking at this, I said, who am I really? Am I really being true to myself and the calling that God has in my life? Am I really a purpose that is a person that has God in my center? Or am I just busy with everything else and I only visit God when I need to? I really had to ask myself some really, really deep questions. You know, when Pastor Humphrey was here, she said that this is a time that God's really dealing with truth. He wants people to be true. In other words, lay down the false things, lay down the lies, lay down the things that you're not or the things you're trying to pretend to be and start stepping into what you really are, who you really are. Be the you that you're supposed to be. That's God's that's all God wants is for you to be you. He doesn't want you to be anybody else. He doesn't want you to be confounded by the things of this world. He wants you to be a person that has a destiny. Your eyes are set on that promised land and you're going to achieve it. No matter what you go through, your eyes are upon the things of God. Because you know what? Through that journey, it's difficult. But you know what? You look at those Israelites. As they traveled, they had everything. Every one of their needs was met. Every one of their battles brought victory. Every obstacle was overcome. Why can we not learn from the Israelites, God's chosen people, as he led them from Israel out of bondage into the promised land? That's the same journey that we have. He's taken us out of bondage. He's taken us out of the hand of the enemy. We are no longer slaves to the enemy. And he's called us so that he can take us into a place called the promised land, which we call heaven. But we're in that journey. And if he did it for the Israelites, his people that were chosen and called by his name, he also calls us the same thing, and he's telling us through your journey, just put me in your center. Let me be the center of your journey. In other words, know where God is in your life at all times. Know where he is and where he wants to abide so that your journey can reflect all that God is. Amen? These are exciting times because God is saying, I want you to be you. How many of us can say we play the part sometimes? How many of us can say we're with one group of people and we act one way, we're with another group of people, we act another way, and sometimes we even get confused because we're living all these double lives and we're trying to be people that we're not? That wasn't in my notes, I guess. That was for me. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's what God is calling his people to be. He's calling us to be real. He's calling us to be truthful. He's calling us to be ourselves. Amen? You know, the thing is so many times we try to impress people by the way we look, by the way we dress, by the cars we drive, the home we live in. We're always trying to impress. I really believe this is a time that we start impressing God with our worship and our praise, with the love that we have for Him. And you know what? With the love that we have for Him and the love that we have for each other as brothers and sisters, that we can start seeing and moving and allowing God to do some changes so that we can see the greatness of God in a different way. Amen? It's so exciting. It's not a time to be comfortable spiritually. Amen? It's a time that we have to have destiny and purpose, and we're moving forward into the things of God. You know, the thing about it is, we've got to know our fellow soldiers, which are our brothers and sisters. If we spend time with each other, we know our strengths and our weaknesses. We know how to stand and help one another. And I really believe that that's what the Lord is saying. The people of God need to start coming together and start knowing their strengths so that we know when we can call upon each other when the enemy is attacking us in certain areas where we're weak. Because where I am weak, my brother or my sister will be strong. And that's why He pairs us together, because where my sister or my brother may be weak, that's where I am strong. And the thing is, we've got each other's back. He's building a team concept so that the enemy can't have his way against us. Amen? The thing about it is, you know, when you have a team that's been told this and been told that, and coaches of the past have belittled some of these individuals, and they don't believe in themselves, and they don't really think they're that good, and you talk to them and you're trying to build a team with these guys, it's kind of difficult because nothing was ever commanded from them or expected from them. Amen? So the thing is, as me as a coach, as I go in there and I'm seeing some of these kids that have basically been belittled by some words, other coaches have told them, you know what, you're no good. And they're trying to be good. And they're frustrated because every time they make a mistake, they right away say, that's why I don't do this well. I'm not that good. See, that's where the enemy wants to keep us. Where you're always thinking you're trying your best, but sometimes you fail. And then sometimes you say, well, the enemy already told me I'm no good. I can't achieve this. It's very difficult. But the thing is, you got to remind them what's on the inside. The desire. The love they have for what they're doing. And start putting it together so that, you know what, you start building a team concept. Something that is working together so that they work together. And they start looking at each other's strengths. And they start recognizing that there is power in the word team. Amen? And that's what the Lord is saying. There is power in the people of God. And if we learn to walk together and be encouraged in God, and you know what? We help each other defeat the earthliness that's around us and have spiritual mindedness that we can achieve, and we can move forward and become what God wants us to be, then we're going to start seeing the miracles of God. Because you know what? In the midst of the Israelites, where God was, there was miracles. The miracles were there. They would happen daily. Sometimes they would happen so often that these people would take them for granted. They'd get up and there was food on the ground and they started complaining. They'd say, Lord, did you bring us out here to make us die of thirst? They saw water flow from a rock. And you got to understand, there was 2.5 million people in the desert. That's a lot of water flowing from a rock. And that's not only the people, that meant their animals and everything else that needed to drink. The water was a gushing water. It was flowing. And the thing is, the people would see that and yet they would not embrace it as a miracle. They felt that it was something that God needed to do as expected from Him. How many things do you look that God has done for you and then all of a sudden you're thinking, well, God, That's I expect that from you, God, because that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to take care of me. I really believe God is calling a people that are going to honor and reverence Him for who He is. A people that recognize. You know, I heard this said from Michael Dalton. You know, it says in the Word of God that some individuals, prophets, have been able to see the heavens. And it says that they see the cherubims and they see the angels. And all they do is say, holy, 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 holy. And I always wondered, I said, why would they just say holy, holy? Because the greatness of God is so big and so great that when he moves, he reveals another greatness of his holiness. When he breathes, there's another holiness about him. They say, holy, holy. All they can see is the holiness of God. When he moves, holy, holy, holy. That is the God we serve. He's such a great and powerful and almighty God that you know what? We as his people, all we can see is his greatness and say, holy, holy. Let's not take him for granted. Let's take him as an individual. Let's take him as our God, that he is everything he says he is in the Word of God. And that, you know what? Every miracle, every promise, everything he said he can do, he can do it. But are we as a people giving reverence to our God through the journey that he's given us? We have a destination to reach. We are headed to a promised land. And we need to remind ourselves that God needs to be in the center of our lives. Without God, would those Israelites ever made it to the promised land? The tabernacle was the place where the presence of God dwelt. In this day and age, God says that we are the tabernacle of God. We are his dwelling place. We are the place where the Lord, the Holy Spirit, dwells. And I really believe, even as we sang that fire this morning, you know what? We need to put our heart back on the altar and start saying, Lord, start a fire in here. Lord, start a fire in here. Lord, you know what? The enemy, the ways of this world, or even the way I think, have caused my spirituality to be like a little spark, like a little smoldering little spark. But God says, I'm coming, as he said, as Sister Nancy said, as the wind blows, you know what he does upon those little embers? As the wind blows, he starts to blow, and all of a sudden the embers get hotter and hotter, and then it turns into a flame once again. And once you start burning for the things of God, you know what? The enemy starts getting worried because the greatness of your God is starting to be revealed in your life. And you know what? You start a fire that cannot be quenched. Amen. How many of us want to start seeing a fire in our hearts once again? How many of us believe that our God is God? Amen. That he is all that he says that he is. That he can do. He's an all-powerful God. He can stir and cause the atmospheres to change. Amen. Our God wants to see us joyful. He wants to see us with happiness in our heart, with peace in our minds. But the thing about it is we've got to call and put him back in that place of reverence as the center of our God. Where, you know what? Discouragement, it's got to go. Disappointment, it's got to go. The thing about it is we rely on so many other things. That's where addictions and everything else start happening, because we're trusting in other things instead of trusting in God. If we put God first, it says, all these things will be added unto you. All those things from heaven. How many of us need some more joy in our lives? You know, the manna at that time was a substance of food. But I really believe the manna of this day and age is the fruits of the Spirit. God wants to bring peace into our lives. That we can get up in the morning and we're feeling a little discouraged, we can go out there and pick some hope. Pick some encouragement. Pick whatever we need, because God is providing it for us as long as we keep God as our center. Because we have purpose and we have destiny. We can't stay where we're at. We can't get comfortable, because God is calling us to a new place. We've got to reach our destiny. We've got to get to that place called the promised land. Amen? And we're here to encourage one another. We're here to inspire each other. But the thing is, we've got to let go of some of the earthliness. We've got to let go of some of the ways we think. We've been taught certain things. And you know what? Some of that stuff is all messed up. How many can say amen to that? Some of my thinking, as I was studying and preparing for this message, I was saying, Lord, there is so many things in my life that I've been taught that hinder the way I think about you. We limit God by the way we've been taught. How many of you believe your God is a God of miracles? How many of you believe that God can change circumstances in your life? How many of you believe that God can cause things that have even been spoken over you to be broken off of you if they're lies? God is saying, I'm raising up a people for such a time as this. But the thing is, the Lord is saying we've got to be real. We've got to be true to Him. We've got to be able to say, you know what? No more deceiving myself. No more trying to be someone I'm not. I want to be what God's called me to be. I want to be the servant of the Most High God. Because in the midst of His presence, in the midst of His greatness, you know what? There's no need for anything else. There's no need for anything else. Amen? You know, I had the honor of bringing forth the teaching on the lamp that was in the tabernacle. It was the candle. I don't call it a candlestick because it really didn't have candles. It was lit by oil, so it was a lamp, really. But the thing about it is, it had three branches on one side and three in the other, and there was one column that held it all up. If you look at it, it kind of looks like a tree. You know, and it starts giving you the understanding of Jesus is the vine, and we are the branches. If we abide in Him, He abides in us. What goes through Him feeds us. What gives Him strength gives us strength. See, if we're connected to the vine, all we need is Him. He is our provider. He's our provision. He does all these things for us. Those worries and those concerns that we have sometimes that overweigh us, we just need to connect with the Lord. And the beautiful thing about it is that lamp was the only source of light that was in that holy place. It was the only source of light. And then we go to Revelations and we read this, and it says, Revelations 21, verse 23, it says, and he's talking about heaven here, he says, the city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it. Heaven doesn't have the need for the moon or the sun. And it goes on, this is beautiful. It says, for the glory of God illuminates it. The lamp is the light. In another translation, it says, the lamp is the Lamb. So see, if we have Jesus, He illuminates everything in our lives. So many times in our life, we feel so separated or so far from the things of God. But if you have Jesus, He's that light. He's that light. He's that source for you to be able to see in the darkness. We are called children of the light. The enemy is the one that wants to snuff you out and cause darkness, gloom, and frustration all around us. But see, that's where it comes in about having our eyes set upon our destiny. As long as we can see, even as we sang this morning, that our faith will arise, even in the midst of the ocean. There's sometimes waves that want to take you out. They even go above our head. Sometimes you can't see your destiny because of what's in front of you. The Lord says that He will lift us up and we will arise. And He will let us be in a place where we can make a choice to either walk to our destiny or stay in the midst of the struggles that we face. This morning, I want to encourage you as a people that there is a God that is doing great and wondrous things. We as a people might need to start recognizing first the miracles that God is doing in our lives. And we need to start celebrating those miracles and worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Every time we take a breath, breath is given by God. That's a gift of life that He's given us. We have plenty to be thankful for, don't we? Every time we take a breath, every time we get to do something, every time that the Lord we know is God is moving in our lives, there's joy in our house. You know, every time you see a success, you see someone that couldn't do something all of a sudden be able to do it. You know, the beautiful thing about it, that gets you excited. You know, that's part of coaching that I love. There's this one boy that basically, he I don't know if he's ever played the game before, I didn't ask him, but he was lost out on the court. The thing about it is, a lot of people didn't even want him in his line because you know what, this young boy didn't know what he was doing. He didn't. But you know, the thing is, some of the coaches that I'm around, it's easy for them to say, oh, I don't even know why he's here. But you know what, all it takes is a little encouragement, a little bit of, you know what, let me explain to you what we're doing and what this drill's about, what you need to do. And all of a sudden, he starts doing it, and you should see the satisfaction and the joy of the heart. Because you know what, someone took time to tell him what he needed to do and how he could overcome the situation. Well, that's what the Lord is saying. I've come to tell you how to overcome the frustration, the disappointment, the discouragement, and even the loneliness you feel sometimes. Because you know what? You don't understand it. But I've come to explain to you that if you trust in me, I'm going to show you what this life is about. I'm going to show you how to get through this journey so that you can celebrate together and say, look what the Lord has done. We all struggle through life. But I want you to know that there was one that came to show us the way. Because he says, you know the way, because I am the way. If you know Jesus, and he's the center of your life, no matter what battle you go through, he's going to direct your path. He'll direct your path. And I'm telling you, when the Lord explains something to you, and you move, and you get through that part of that journey of your life, it makes him feel good, and it makes you feel good. And you know what that does? It builds your faith. And all of a sudden, you start saying, I believe I can do this. I believe I can do this. I'm getting better every day. I am going to prove myself. I'm going to get better and better and better. And one of these days, I'm going to get to get on that court, and I'm going to be able to do what I need to do. And that's what the Lord is saying. It's time for my people to position themselves, to get in the game of life, because there are gifts and there are talents in you that nobody else has. And God is saying, I need you to come forward. I need you to come out, because the team, the church, needs people like you for such a time as this. As Mordecai told Esther, this is not a time to be silent. In other words, this is not a time for us to quit. This is not a time for us to throw in the towel. This is not a time for us to get frustrated. This is a time for the people of God to stand up and say, Lord, here am I. I am called for such a time as this. Even like Joshua challenged his people, he said, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Either put God in the center of your life or push him away and get going with your own. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Let us stand up this morning as we close. God. So my question to you is, Is God the center of your journey? Do we focus so much on all the problems and everything around us that we forget we have the answer within us? And I really believe that's what Sister Sue was, the message that was coming forward is, God has given you everything, even as it said in 1 Peter. God has given you everything you need for life and for righteous living. He's given it all to you. It's inside of you. But if you don't stir it up, it just sits there. And I really believe this morning God wants to stir your spirituality, your righteousness, your holiness, your gifts, your talents. He wants to stir them up so they can start making a difference in your life and in the lives of the people around you. Amen? Praise the Lord. Let's sing this song together. Praise the Lord. Embrace them and love them and encourage them with your presence. The Father, the Lord, that they would see you through the spiritual eyes that you've given us. The Father, that we are called sons and daughters of the Most High God. We have victory within us. We have everything we need. We are equipped to reach our destiny. Father, we hinder ourselves and we get so blocked up and we get so confused and so entangled sometimes that we forget. And I pray right now, Father, the Lord, in the midst of where each heart is, they would see you as Almighty and all-powerful God. That you have called us, Father, for such a time as this. To take our rightful place and to be able to be used for the kingdom of God. It doesn't matter about our past. It doesn't matter about the things we've done. What matters is the God that lives in us and the one that's calling us forward. Father, let us be true to ourselves and let us be true to you, Father, so that we may reach our destiny. And we may encourage others along our way. Because, Father, the stories that are in your people, the gifts and the talents need to come out and they need to be seen and they need to be heard. We thank you and we love you, Lord. It's in Jesus' name that we pray and everyone says, amen. Give each other a hug this